Do you like your home? Do you like your car? Do you like your work? Do you like your neighborhood? Do you like your social standing? Do you like being in this country? Are you happy here? I'm asking these questions because as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, please realize we are just passing through. We are simply pilgrims and strangers. This is not our home. We need to make no mistake about it. We will be here on this physical earth for at least 1,000 years. However, there will be a new heaven and a new earth coming. This is the real promised land for all of humanity. Our final destination is in paradise with God forever. As I think all of us understand, God's great plan of salvation is pictured through the holy days. And of course, we probably all also understand and realize that the Feast of Tabernacles, coupled with the Last Great Day, pictures the wonderful future of what is coming, what is in store, what is going to be happening then in the future. All of us here have attended a Feast of Tabernacles. All of us have at one time or another. But how long has the picture of what the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day that pictures, how long has that picture remained in our minds? How clear is that picture today? Are we still continuing in our walk with God? Are we still looking to the new heaven and the new earth? What if you never heard another sermonette or sermon? What if for some unforeseen reason you never attended another feast or you never attended another Sabbath service? Would you continue in your walk with God? Now, I know these are interesting questions, and we have to think about this. And let's not be too hasty to say, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, I would. Because, you see, I personally believe, and I'm not talking about any person in this room, I don't necessarily have anybody in mind in saying this, but the statement that I'm going to tell you, I still personally do believe. I do believe that too many people might think this is too hard for them to bear up under. I think they may think that this new circumstances that I find myself in, it's too hard. It's something that I don't know that I continue to bear up. I don't know that it's something that I continue in my walk with God if I suddenly am lost from everybody. No more feast for whatever reason. No more Sabbath services, never hearing another sermonette, never hearing another sermon, never being in contact with anyone else as part of the body of Jesus Christ. My question is, what would you do? What would you do? I want us today to take a look at some examples from God's Word where some people of God, were asked to continue their walk with God under new circumstances. It was different. We will also see they did continue in their walk with God. They did continue. And as a result of this, this has been recorded in the pages of the Bible, leaving us an example to follow so we also, even if we're called upon to be in new situations and in new circumstances, continue our walk with God. We need to realize we are pilgrims and strangers in the earth as we walk this walk with God. We can be doing this by ourselves, alone, or with hundreds of others. But we need to think about we are pilgrims and strangers in this earth as we walk this walk with God. So we want to take a look at some of the characteristics of pilgrims. I want you to go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We refer to that as the faith chapter. And we want to take a look at this incredible example and learn what we can about pilgrims and their characteristics by looking at the example of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's begin in verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he, Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The he who had promised, of course, was the being we refer to as Jesus Christ. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as much as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them for a city. So let's look back over these verses and let's take a look and let's see some of the characteristics of pilgrims, looking primarily here at the life of Abraham. Back up in verse 8, we read, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out from a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing where he went. So one of the very first things that we recognize about being a pilgrim in the earth, walking with God, is you obey the call. Abraham obeyed the call. And we can look to the example of Abraham's life and see this over and over. To the place that he was told to take his son, his only son Isaac, and to take him up to a mountain, a place where I'm going to tell you, 3 days' journey. Turned out to be, it was Mount Moriah. But he told him to take him up and to sacrifice his only son. And he does. No, he doesn't actually kill the son, but he goes through the motions of it. He does it. In his heart, the son was dead. God later spoke and said, now I know. Now I know. And what he's implying is, whatever I, God, tell you to do, you're going to do it. One of the incredible characteristics of a pilgrim is they're going to obey the call. They're going to heed the words of God. In Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, or Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house and into a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He obeyed. And then, of course, we understand also that you have to put together with this, John 6 and verse 44. Jesus Christ speaking those words, telling us something else. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him or calls him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Showing us that Abraham had been called. Abraham had been called from God. Abraham, I want you to come and I want you to walk in a different way. I want you to be a pilgrim in the earth. He obeyed the call. Then in Matthew chapter 22 in verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Quite simple. Very important characteristic of a pilgrim is pilgrims accept the call. A second characteristic of a pilgrim is he never settled down. He never settled down. In verse 9, this is going back into the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, in temporary dwellings with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You see, Abraham never settled for this life and never simply settled in. He never settled down. He was a sojourner. Even though he was in places for long periods of time, he knew this was not his father's world. Did he know it in the sense that it was not his father's world? No, I don't think that, but we understand it in that way now. The Greek word for sojourner means to live as a stranger. And it's what he was called. He was a sojourner. Means to live as a stranger. Abraham knew his promise from God was not of or was not in this world. So as a result, Abraham sought God's will and not his own will. He wanted whatever God wanted, that's what he wanted. So again, it's a very high calling and it's a very important understanding of what a pilgrim is. We also obviously have the example of Jesus Christ in the garden on Passover night. Matthew 26, 39, it repeats very similar to that in verse 42. Matthew 26, 39 and 42, it says, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus Christ was a pilgrim. Jesus Christ was a sojourner. And we follow Jesus Christ. A third point, Abraham looked for an eternal city. Not a physical city, but a heavenly city, a godly city, a city from God. And verse 10 says, this is in Hebrews 11 again, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What are we looking for? It's just a question. A fourth one. Abraham longed for a better land. A better land. Verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city, a better place, a better land. Abraham sought the Lord's presence and not the earth. Yes, he lived in the earth. He lived his life. He lived long after God had even called him. But he wasn't seeking what he could obtain and what he could get from the world. Did he obtain and have possessions in this world? Oh, absolutely. Abraham would have been considered probably as a very wealthy man. Much of this after he had been called. So it's not a question of, you know, rags, you know, from riches to rags to be a sojourner in the earth, to be a follower of God. It doesn't mean that. It just simply means, where are we placing our focus? Where's the focus? Abraham placed his focus on God, not on this earth. And that's the point. A fifth point that we see about a pilgrim. Abraham had a vision that progressed as he moved from a city to a country. It progressed. It kept getting bigger as he understood more and more. Abraham's vision moved from being physical and temporary to being spiritual and eternal. Now, without going through the story of Abraham and his descendants, we certainly understand that his children became a natural physical nation known as the children of Israel. But they're the direct descendants from Abraham. We also know and we understand that Abraham's children are now the children of faith. That's what the scripture tells us. We also know that his children are also of the new heaven and the new earth. Because we understand, and it shows how salvation takes place. Salvation is of the Jews who were of Abraham. Yes, through Jacob, through Isaac, and back to Abraham. So he had a vision that kept growing, and it progressed, and it got bigger. So obviously then, a pilgrim is someone who is going to have a great vision. And it's not about this earth. It's about God and what God has in store. Maybe not even understanding all that it is. And it gets bigger as we understand more. Another characteristic of a pilgrim, using Abraham's life, and that is, Abraham could see far into the future. Far into the future. Verse 13, this is back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." They looked beyond the here and now. They looked beyond to the future, afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They knew they were sojourners. They knew they were. All of the patriarchs, starting with Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, primarily those. The patriarchs could see the future with what I'm going to refer to as spiritual eyesight. Jesus tells us that they saw his day, Jesus' day, and rejoiced. In John chapter 8, and verse 56. John 8 and verse 56. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." The day of Jesus' day that's being referred to there is the return of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God being on earth. Beyond that, to the new heaven and the new earth. They saw that. They rejoiced in it. They knew they were not even going to obtain it in this physical life. They knew that. I mean, this is not like, you know, for the last 2,000 years, the Church of God has believed it's going to happen. He's going to return in our lifetime. He's going to return in our lifetime. Every era, if you want to use the word era, whatever term you want to use, every era has believed that the second coming of Jesus Christ was going to happen in their lifetime. Why? Because I think Jesus understood if they didn't see that, they might not continue to walk. But he had this incredible example of Abraham who saw it, who knew they were not going to obtain it in their life. We need to understand that. They knew it wasn't going to happen in their life. That's why we can look at their incredible example. They had spiritual vision, being able to look forward. Proverbs 29, this is another important key to being a pilgrim. Proverbs 29 in verse 18 tells us, where there is no vision, in other words, where there is no looking forward, the people perish. Or it says, cast off restraints. In other words, they back off. They slow the pace down of their walk with Christ to the place that they eventually will not be walking even in that direction. Without vision, without looking forward, without having that, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, and here the law is not just referring to the Ten Commandments, it's talking about the way of life of God. It's what I'm referring to is our walk with Jesus. But he that keeps the law, happy is he, blessed is he, because he's going to continue in that. The here and now is important. But where the real importance is the looking forward, that's why we are told that we are to pray, thy kingdom come. Because that's when real life starts. Another characteristic of pilgrims, if you're doing numbers, I think this is number 7. Abraham and the patriarchs acknowledge their ongoing and growing faith. They knew where to attach it. They knew that they had faith in God. They knew that as the further along they walked with God, they knew their faith grew. They knew that. They maintained their faith all the way to their physical deaths. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, now this verse is not speaking just directly about Abraham and the patriarchs, but they certainly would be included. But we read there in Revelation 14 and verse 13, and it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." They rest. They don't have to keep the walking any longer. They've walked far enough. And what they've done in this walk, it is there with them. And it is still there. And it's written. So many of these things are written. And we can read them. And we are to use them. And we're to use them as examples. When things start going rough, we can look back to these examples. That's why they're here. That's why they're here. Incredible examples. Incredible examples of how to do it and continue to do it. There's a lot of verses that we could read in every one of these points that we've covered so far. I want to come to point 8 now. Point 8 is, we also are pilgrims. We are pilgrims and strangers in the earth. We are not to be part of this world. In fact, we are told to come out. We're told to come out. Are we in the world? I mean, are we still here? Are we someplace other than in its physical world? No, we're still here. Many of you still go to a job or to school or whatever the case is that we do in our daily lives. We have to drive on the roads where everybody else drives who does not know God. We shop in the same stores. We buy the same types of foods. And I'm not dealing with clean and unclean here. I'm talking about we shop at the same market. They buy this brand, we buy this brand. You know what I'm saying? We live in this world, but we are not of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, God tells us. A second thing about the fact that we are also strangers is we are not to feel a sense of belonging with people who are of this world and want to remain this way. Well, it's okay. They don't know, therefore I will just go along with them. Wrong. Pilgrims don't do that. We don't condemn the people. They just haven't been, you go back to the very first characteristic of a pilgrim that I gave. Called. Another point about the fact that we are pilgrims is we are God's people. And another point is we are heirs along with Jesus Christ. How awesome that is. You know, we read these verses times and we read them and we read over them as if it's like reading nothing. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14, Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then come down to verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It says with Christ, I read in Jesus. If so be that we suffer with him. Another key about being a pilgrim. That we may be also glorified together. Another characteristic that we as pilgrims today is we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer as Jesus Christ suffered. For doing it right. You see, Jesus suffered not for doing it wrong. He never did any wrong. He only suffered for doing it right. And that's what it is showing us. Now, I'm not getting hung up on it. I'm not focusing on the suffering. I'm just saying that it's also a fact. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. As he lived, we are to live. Then one other point that I want to make. This is all still on the big number 8. That we are pilgrims. Another one under that is that we are to live and rule at Jesus Christ's return. We're going to rule with Jesus Christ because we are pilgrims today. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. We're going to reign and rule with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years because of being pilgrims. because we are sojourners in the earth today. During our time of living, just like with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the others who followed. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, verse 5, Ephesians 2 and verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, the verse before says what God has done, has quickened us, has made us alive. Quicken means to make alive. We thought we were alive before we were called. We were dead. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Go back to Romans 8 again. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, we've been in bondage. We've been in bondage to fear. It says, hey, that's not what you were called for. You're led by the Spirit of God, the sons of God. And you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Such an affectionate term for such an affectionate being. You know, your next door neighbor's children do not call you Abba, Father. And when we were like the next door children, we could not. But now we have been called. And now we are being led by the Spirit of God. And as a result of that, as if he has brought us into his house, and we're not yet full sons, is as if that we're an adopted situation here. But it's going to, the fulfillment of all of this is we're going to be DNA sons of God. And we shied away from this in times past, but this is what this is saying. This is the analogy that is used. Where we as adopted sons brought in because of this now relationship that we have with God now. And you think this is special. We can call him Abba, Daddy. But it goes on. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, our human spirit, that we are the children of God. We know this. We know that we are the children of God because we're being led by the Spirit of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Jesus Christ has been glorified. He is a DNA son of God. As he has been glorified already in that, that's what's going to happen to us. Because we are pilgrims and strangers, sojourners in the earth today. That's what's going to happen. A ninth point of pilgrims' characteristic. Pilgrims will live by their faith and die in that faith. Because they are waiting for the resurrection after they have run their race, overcoming and enduring to the end. Not to 50 yards before the end. Not to 2 days before the end. To the end. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. as we can look about and we can see we have so many witnesses who have lived this way of life, that have gone before us, who are faithful to God, who continued their walk all the way to the end. We have this incredible cloud of witnesses about us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. They did. And we have this whole cloud of witnesses that did. They did. Now we do it. Because we're here now. And how do you do it? Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Not on anything else. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. What joy? That he was going to become a full DNA born son of God. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have this incredible cloud of witnesses, people who've gone before us who did it. Let us also lay aside all the heavy weights, all the things that would cause us to sin, and keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, enduring as he did. We've already seen earlier that we'll be glorified together. Number 10. Another big characteristic of a pilgrim. Pilgrims never turn back. Oh, they may have trials and they may have tests and they may be overcome for a moment, but they never turn back. I'm not talking about a pilgrim never sins. It's not the point. We have examples of these incredible cloud of witnesses. We also have some of these biggies that are in the list that are there. We have some of their sins also recorded. It's not about sinning. Should we be? Absolutely not. The biggie is God forgives all of us. We keep looking. We keep moving forward. We keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. We keep our eyes on the goal, the prize that is set before us. Nothing else is to get in the way. Pilgrims never turn back, even though the going obviously is going to get tough. I would think that being stoned to death because you're telling people about the incredible plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Stephen. Here is Stephen being stoned to death because he's telling people about their Savior. And they bite him. They run over. They bite on him. And they start biting on him. And they start tearing out hair. And they start spitting on him. And they start kicking him. Doesn't say this, but you think they're going to do certain things and they don't do the other? And then they stoned him. You see, and he got the picture. And he knew they didn't have the picture. So he asked God to forgive them. What an attitude. He didn't turn back. And even though things get tough, pilgrims press on. And where did he keep his eyes? On Jesus. Because apparently, I'm only saying this, apparently, but it's as if they ask him, what is he doing? So apparently he must be doing something like looking up. Does he have a smile on his face? I don't know. I don't want to read more into it that is there, but he certainly is, describes what is happening, and he says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. So even here, as it really gets tough, I mean tough from the point of view of he knew they were going to kill him. And he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, never turning back. There are other examples. This is just one. So there are some things here that we learn about never turning back. Pilgrims never look back. Pilgrims look for the city whose builder and maker is God. Pilgrims look for a spiritual land flowing with spiritual milk and honey. Pilgrims put their hand to the plow with an intense commitment to finish whatever it is that God has started in their lives. They've committed that they're not going to stop until the end of the row. In Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 59. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. You look back now and we realize in the context what it was happening. He tells this one person, this is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, come and follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me or allow me first to go and bury my father. Now, is there anything wrong in burying our parents if they die? Of course not. They're supposed to be. We're supposed to do that. But he missed his point. The man missed the point of what Jesus was doing. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go you and preach the kingdom of God. And another said unto him, Lord, I will follow you. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my house. Verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit or worthy of the kingdom of God. So pilgrims don't look back. Yeah, things get rough, absolutely. But we don't look back. So brethren, please, what I ask is of each one of us, myself included, that each one of us will fix our eyes on God, on Jesus Christ, and the eternal future in paradise with God. Fix our eyes there. Are there things here in this world, in this life, in this society where we're living now? Could it draw us away? The answer is obvious. The reason it's so obvious is because Jesus has to keep telling us, do this, do this. Keep your eyes here, keep your eyes here, keep your eyes here. Why? Because there's so many other things that could keep our eyes someplace else. So let's fix our eyes there. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. That is the key. And that is probably one of the biggest keys or characteristics of a pilgrim. That they keep their eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ can answer every need we have now. And he has promised a future that we cannot even begin to imagine. I mean, however great we think it's going to be, that we can imagine it is, it's not enough. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Okay, tell us how much love he has bestowed upon us. You get the point? We cannot even describe it. Put it in words. We can't. Well, whatever it is that we come to, it's bigger. It's bigger. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew Him not. Then we must be strangers. Then we must be sojourners. We must be pilgrims. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But, so we don't even know what it is. But we know that when He shall appear, when Jesus Christ appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. First Timothy 6 and verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We lay up in store a good foundation. What is our foundation? Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, he's talking about this physical body, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. He said, this is our great desire. This is really what our desire is. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought or worked us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, but to be present with the Lord. It's not saying we're going to do anything to get out of this physical life. We're going to continue on as long as God allows us to be here. That's what he's saying. But what our desire is, to be out of this tabernacle, this temporary, this physical, but to be in a body just like Jesus Christ. So what I ask of each one of us, that we would remember and reflect on this, and meditate on this, and pray about this. Remember, we are pilgrims and strangers in this world, and our destination is in paradise with God forever. Amen.